It's 7:43 on this West Virginia morning. I'm Teresa Wills. As Appalachia's black lung epidemic grows worse, will mine safety regulators take action?
They could care less about me, how much dust I suck in, or how long I'm going to live.
That story from the Ohio Valley Resources just ahead. This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. The bishop appointed by the Vatican to investigate the former leader of the Roman Catholic Church in West Virginia now has his own explaining to do, Glennis Board reports.
Archbishop William Laurie oversaw a probe of alleged sexual and financial misconduct by West Virginia's former Bishop Michael Bransfield, who has denied wrongdoing. Laurie's team's confidential findings in February prompted Bransfield's ouster. What Laurie didn't say in his final report to the Vatican in March is that he himself is among high-ranking clergy who accepted cash gifts from Bransfield. The Washington Post reported that before and after versions of the still-secret report show names of Laurie and others removed. With the Post asking questions, Laurie revealed some of the details in a letter Wednesday and followed up Friday with a video saying redacting the names was a mistake. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Glennis Board in Wheeling.
30 years after Minden residents marched to bring attention to the PCB contamination causing cancer in their community, members of the Minden Community Action say more work must be done. The Registered Herald reports the group organized a Saturday march as a reenactment of the 1989 March for the Contaminated Fayette County Community. The march is intended to draw attention to ongoing problems and also honor local residents who pushed the federal government to act. Minden was contaminated after workers at the now-defunct Schaefer's Equipment Company dumped the industrial chemical PCB around the town. There have been three cleanup efforts by the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, and none have fully removed the contamination. In May, the EPA announced that Schaefer's would be added to the national priority list of Superfund sites. A congressional committee will hear testimony this month on the epidemic of black lung among Appalachian coal miners. As part of an NPR investigation disclosed last year, more than 2,000 miners have been diagnosed with the worst form of the disease. Sydney Bowles visited a conference where researchers presented more evidence of the problem and a union leader called for action. But mine safety regulators show little indication they will increase protection for miners.
Coal miners, industry regulators, and health researchers gathered at a conference center in the foggy mountains of southern West Virginia last week. It was the first meeting of the West Virginia Black Lung Association since an NPR investigation put the spotlight on Central Appalachia's worsening epidemic of black lung disease and the failure of regulators to meaningfully address it. Harold Sturgill was disabled by black lung disease when he was 58 years old.
You know, man's going to feed his family whether it kills him or not.
Sturgill shared the challenges miners face.
It's still all about production. That's all it's about. They could care less about me, how much dust I suck in, or how long I'm going to live.
Brandon Crum, a radiologist in Pikeville, Kentucky, was among the first caregivers to sound the alarm about the epidemic. He says the last 12 months have been the worst of his career as more cases add up.
I first started with 60. As of last week, we got 246 cases of complicated black lung in my clinic alone.
Crum has seen younger miners disabled by black lung disease and a surge in a new form of the disease called diffuse dust fibrosis, or DDF.
This is something that I've been picking up over the last 6 to 12 months, and it's increasing in frequency, and it's also increasing in severity.
Crum says DDF works quickly to make it hard for miners to breathe, and an increasing share of lung transplants are in miners with DDF. The condition is likely attributable to an increased exposure to silica. Silica dust is formed when mining equipment cuts into surrounding rock layers and is far more toxic than coal dust alone. Researchers at the National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health, or NIOSH, say they are finding more evidence of silica dust exposure in the images of the lungs of sick miners.
There's a specific type of radiographic abnormality that's associated with silicosis.
NIOSH researcher Scott Laney shared findings that back up what NPR reported about the link between silica dust and the rise in illness.
And so we can look at that over time, and what we've seen is a six-fold increase from 1980 to the presence in these silicotic nodules on the x-rays.
But despite mounting evidence, there's little sign that regulators are planning to do anything differently to control silica dust exposure. United Mine Workers President Cecil Roberts called for increased regulation of silica dust.
You could draw a circle around southwestern Virginia, eastern Kentucky, and southern West Virginia, and that's where it is. That's where miners are getting sick, that's where miners are dying, and anybody says, we need more information, they're lying.
After the day's presentations were over, I caught up with the regulator in charge of mine safety, David Zetesloh. Zetesloh is a former coal mining executive who now leads the Mine Safety and Health Administration, or MSHA. Zetesloh has declined to confirm whether or not he believes silica exposure is contributing to the increase in black lung disease. He says his agency is studying the matter.
Science is science.
Back in 2014, MSHA implemented a rule further limiting coal dust, but that rule did not specifically address silica. Zetesloh says his agency is waiting to see what effects the 2014 rule will have.
We're out for an RFI on it. We're soliciting feedback.
You're soliciting feedback. Okay.
Request for information.
Zetesloh will face more questions about his agency's response later this month when a congressional committee holds hearings. The House Committee on Education and Labor will hear testimony on the black lung epidemic on June 20th. For the Ohio Valley Resource, I'm Sydney Bowles in Pipestem, West Virginia.
The Ohio Valley Resource is supported by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and West Virginia Public Broadcasting. This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. It's 7:50. Mostly cloudy skies today. There's a chance of rain and thunderstorms, highs in the 70s. Breezy overnight with a chance of rain and thunderstorms, lows in the 40s and 50s. Sunshine tomorrow with highs in the 70s. Support for West Virginia Public Broadcasting is provided by the State Treasurer's Office with the Smart 529 College Savings Program at Tiny Tale Storytime with Daniel Tiger, Thursday, June 13th at the Clay Center, wvtreasury.com. The American Academy of Pediatrics recommends that infants be exclusively breastfed for the first 6 months after birth, citing research that says breastfeeding protects the infant against diseases, obesity, and stomach issues, and helps the mother lose weight and decrease risk of some cancers. But although breastfeeding is natural, for many women, it's not easy. And as Carol Lofton reports, women who struggle with breastfeeding can face intense pressure to be successful without support.
Okay, buddy, do you want to read a book? Let's pick out a book, okay? Yeah.
When Emma Pepper got pregnant, she was totally on board with breastfeeding until her son was born.
He could never quite latch properly. And he was actually born on a weekend in the hospital. And so the lactation consultants weren't available to support me in the very beginning.
Pepper lives in Charleston, West Virginia. We called 14 hospitals in West Virginia, and only two had breastfeeding consultants available around the clock, even though it's common for women to struggle with breastfeeding after giving birth. And unless doctors and nurses have undergone special training, they may not have the expertise to help new moms learn to breastfeed. Only four hospitals in West Virginia require formalized training for nurses and doctors on labor and delivery floors around breastfeeding. These hospitals have a baby-friendly designation from Baby Friendly USA, a World Health Organization and UNICEF program designed to improve the role of maternity services worldwide. The hospital Pepper gave birth at is not one of the four. Pepper says she was told by a nurse to keep her son for more than an hour on each of her breasts to try to get him to latch. So by the time she was discharged from the hospital, she says her nipples were raw.
it ended up making my breastfeeding experience just more challenging overall.
A 2013 study published in the journal Pediatrics found that 60% of women don't breastfeed as long as they intend to. This is because of latching problems, concerns about infant nutrition and weight, the need to return to work, or because they don't have enough support as they try to figure breastfeeding out. Kaylee Littleton is a pediatrician and a board-certified lactation consultant in Weirton, West Virginia. She says a lot of women around here have problems breastfeeding.
Because the information is not great and a lot of the help that women get is not the best for them and things tend to go awry.
Littleton says she hears stories from women about how friends and family, or even doctors and nurses, have encouraged them to supplement with formula just because their baby is big. But supplementing with formula can impact breast milk supply, making it harder to breastfeed. She says many women are also told some pain is normal, but Littleton says it's not, and that pain is a sign of a bad latch. When Pepper was discharged, her son still wasn't latching properly. So the doctor recommended she supplement with formula. Pepper was okay with that, but she still wanted to breastfeed. She worried that if she didn't, her son would be sick more often. In the meantime, she was being urged on by a lot of people. Her friends, her therapist, even her hairdresser asked her if she was breastfeeding.
And so I felt an extreme amount of just societal pressure to be able to live up to that and to... And as a result of that, I made some pretty extreme demands on my body in order to be able to fulfill that wish that I had for him.
Pepper says she spent hundreds of dollars on pumps to increase her milk supply. About a week after giving birth, she also connected with a local lactation consultant who suggested a strict regimen: breastfeed, then supplement with formula, then pump to increase milk supply. But Pepper says she was either breastfeeding or pumping around the clock, and it wasn't sustainable.
I felt such an enormous sadness that I was wearing this pump all the time and I couldn't hold and bond with my baby while I was wearing it, and I only had a limited amount of time for maternity leave.
After about 2 months, Pepper would have to return to work. She struggled to breastfeed for 6 weeks. Then the lactation consultant recommended she switch to formula.
Receiving that advice from her was part of what gave me the confidence to go ahead and switch to formula feeding when I felt that I had exhausted every single avenue available to me to make breastfeeding work.
It's a decision she says she wishes she had made earlier. For Appalachia Health News, I'm Carol Lofton.
Appalachia Health News is a project of West Virginia Public Broadcasting with support from Marshall Health and Charleston Area Medical Center. To hear more from our series about breastfeeding and motherhood, listen to the latest episode of Inside Appalachia podcast called Without Enough Support, Working Moms Struggle to Make Breastfeeding Work. Find it at wvpublic.org or wherever you get your podcasts. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. Our producer is Glennis Board. I'm Teresa Wills.